Hey guys, happy Monday everyone, and welcome to episode 32 of New Ones at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. We've got a great show today. We've got new music and an interview with Toronto electronic music artist Dr. B, as well as new music from Ate, he's from the East Coast, as well as new music from Calgary artist Juliana Lane. Something just from all across the country, this big old country of ours. Before we get into some of that musical goodness, I want to ask you guys, have you bought any GameStop yet? If so, how is that going for you? I am genuinely really curious about this because I'm not really a traditional kind of market guy. There's a great YouTuber that's been explaining it pretty well, I think. His name's Lewis Rossman. So check him out. He's got some pretty interesting things to say. It's a pretty wild thing when you think about it. I checked out the Reddit page for Wall Street Bets. Those are the kids causing all the trouble for the old white billionaires. It's kind of incredible to see a group of people mobilize in a real redistribution of wealth, which sort of looks like ultimately what is going on, what they're trying to do. It was also sort of reassuring to see the American government take the stand and start taking those steps to look into Robinhood and how they were limiting their own users to prevent massive hedge funds from losing billions of dollars on what is a totally legitimate, albeit unconventional, investment strategy. The fact is that GameStop is a functional company. This is what I've come to understand. And it was being driven into the ground by day traders. I know it's complicated, and I get that ultimately GameStop, as it stands now, has a pretty failing business model, etc., etc. But I mean, really, isn't that just kind of all retail? GameStop is a functional company, after all, with employees and customers. Games are still massive files, and internet access is still finite in many parts of all across North America, really. It's sort of insane to just say that everyone has comfortably just started downloading literally gigs of data overnight, and that's just nothing anyone's noticed, even those who could never do it before. I guess what I took is that GameStop, you know, they still have meetings. They're still doing stuff theoretically, changing direction at any time. Maybe these hedge funds seem to drive stock prices of companies like GameStop, as well as other companies, down. Just to inevitably flip them for a profit, regardless of the company's actual activities. I mean, it seems pretty messed up. This is not financial advice. Don't listen to me. I mean, it's just something I'm curious about. If you guys have any insights, I'd love to hear about it. Who knows what GameStop is up to? If you haven't checked out Wall Street Bets Reddit, I do highly recommend it for literally nothing more than the comments on the page. The group of Redditors, the comments on this page is truly some of the best and worst hilarity that Reddit has to offer. Now, one really cool thing I found out is that the same Reddit group also saw the same hedge funds shorting a retail property management company in the US who manages malls and whatnot, who again is an operational company, arguably struggling to stay afloat and stuff because of COVID. The Redditors apparently rescued that stock, at least for time enough for the Ontario Teachers' Pension Plan to cash in to the tune of $500 million last week. The pension plan was an investor in the property company, and they were losing lots of money. Teachers right now deserve a win, don't they? I mean, they've had a pretty rough year. They probably have it rough most years. Kids are scary. I'm super happy I'm in love with a dude. If you've ever been in love, you've probably felt some kind of pressure to change yourself, to some degree at least, for that other person. Did you even hear that segue? I'm sure in lots of cases, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. To change oneself, that is. Maybe you're inspired by a partner who gets up early and does yoga or some other nonsense, and maybe that inspiration leads you to make some positive changes in your own life. That all said, I am still a proponent of doing things for yourself first. Doing things because other people want you to or even expect them from you can lead to some bad places in any relationship. That is the theme of Nothing to You, the new bedroom pop song by Calgary artist Juliana Lane. I'm going to warn you up front, this is a catchy song and it will be in your head for the rest of the day. There is your awesome new pop song warning. The artist describes the track in a press release as an assertion of her own sense of self. Quote, Nothing to you is about realizing your value is not determined by your partner, end quote. The artist succinctly explained. This is the new one from Juliana Lane. It's called Nothing to You.
You always get the best of me. Everyone else just gets the rest of me. I can't be mad, it's not a mystery. I won't even invest in me.
You say you'll leave all through September. I try my best not to remember. You tear me down, I put me back together. You happy now, you smile and tell me never. I can't even get upset. We're both messing with my head. Sounded bad when you said it. Hurt more the more that you meant it. You hate when I get offended. I guess I'm just weak, it's true. Give you my heart and you take it. Made you my home, but it's vacant. I could be something to someone or just nothing to you. I'm nothing to you. I'm nothing to you. Always got that angry face you put on when things don't go your way. I step up to take the blame and bite my tongue until it
wait.
You keep me round. Guess I'll just run in circles. You keep me down. I still get high for sure though. Laugh with your friends. I cry into my journal. Both know how it ends, so we start.
But you love me.
It sounded bad when you said it. Hurt more the more that you meant it. You hate when I get offended. I guess I'm just weak, it's true. Give you my heart and you take it. Meet you my home, but it's vacant. I could be something to someone or just nothing to you. I'm just weak, it's true. Give you my heart and you take it. Meet you my home, but it's vacant. I could be something to someone or just nothing to you.
Adam Taylor was born in Spryfield, Nova Scotia. Taylor makes music under his moniker, A-Tay. He's an independent recording artist and producer who broke into the scene with his 2018 sophomore tape, Dreams Up. Sometime down the road of life, A-Tay met Jax, and the two made an immediate connection. The team set out to work on recording Jax's first album, Honey, and later still, their first collaboration album under A-Tay and Jax called Last Night. The duo collabs back and forth on each other's projects, and they have so much going on, it's honestly not always easy to keep track of what these guys are actually up to. Fans of the show may know I've had a hard time with this in the past. Are there fans of this show? The last time we talked to A-Tay and Jax, we were talking about Jax's new album, Shark Week. And this time we're talking about A-Tay's new album, You Deserve the Moon. And you do. The album is great end to end. I'm going to talk about it on the site when I have 5 minutes to get into some writing. It's got some great samples. Just go listen to it after this. I dig the way these guys make music. You get a sense really of who they are, independently or together. There's all these different influences worked into the sound so subtly, from pop to hip hop to straight up mall punk. Can I say mall punk? Is it politically correct and stuff to say mall punk? Am I going to trigger mall punks? The point is that these two understand something very special about making music. This is the new one from You Deserve the Moon by A-Tay. It is called You Lie Too Much.
y'all, so what's it take? You got a lot to say. I heard you tell your friends, you won't say it to my face. Always talking about us, but we fight and you lie too much. Hey, y'all, let me set it straight. I'll take you on a date. Every time I slide, I can never leave your place. Always talking about us, but we fight and I cry too much. Now I'm lonely, I can feel it. I just stare up at the ceiling. All these things that I've been feeling. Is it worth it? I don't know. Should I go? I ain't seen you since you came onto my show. Are you into me? Are you pissing me? I wonder where we'd be if I had acted differently. I'm a dick, you can't remind me. I'm gon' find the silver lining. If you want another chance, then you can find me. So what's it take? You got a lot to say. I heard you tell your friends, you won't say it to my face. Always talking about us, but we fight and you lie too much. Hey, y'all, let me set it straight. I'll take you on a date. Every time I slide, I can never leave your place. Always talking about us, but we fight and I cry too much. You don't mean it when you tell me you don't love me. You been on my fucking dick since the day that we dropped honey. I need money now. What you think about me? Would you drink without me? What you think without me? Hey, pop molly with your friends, baby. Leave me alone, yeah. You just smoke weed and you never leave your home, yeah. You done lost your mind, baby. Everybody knows, yeah. Used to come to me when you had nowhere to go, yeah. I got doubts, I got time, I need more. It's a sign, I've been great. Are you fine? Are you safe? Are you mine? Cause I'm lost now. Look at what it cost, y'all. So what's it take? You got a lot to say. I heard you tell your friends, you won't say it to my face. Always talking about us, but we fight and you lie too much. Hey, y'all, let me set it straight. I'll take you on a date. Every time I slide, I can never leave your place. Always talking about us, but we fight and I cry too much.
Jonathan Bourdain, aka Dr. B, is an electronic music artist and hip-hop producer from Toronto, Canada. He's also the author of Elysium, The Holy War, a graphic novel about the final battle between God and the devil. You can check that out on Amazon. You know, if you're in the market for some light beach reading kind of stuff. Bourdain is also training to be a forensic psychologist, which on its own is super fascinating. And yes, I asked him about that in our interview. Oh, did you see that coming? There's an interview. Well, yeah, we saw that coming. You always have an interview. Here is my interview with Dr. B. Hey, everybody, I'm here with Dr. B. The doctor is in, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. B, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. So do you mind if I call you Jonathan?
Sure. Go ahead.
Awesome. So Jonathan, so you're actually a doctor. You're training to be a doctor. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm training. I'm still in school.
Okay, cool. And that's and I bring it up because it's actually kind of interesting. You were just about to tell me about it. You're training to be a forensic psychologist. Is that?
Yeah.
So is that like a criminal minds kind of situation?
Well, in a way, I mean, to be honest with you, like my family and I, we're in mental health. My wife is a clinical director and we own about 20 clinics all throughout Ontario. And so mental health is a big part of my life, but we handle a lot of, I would say like the standard things, PTSD, anxiety, depression. We have some, you know, extreme cases like suicide and things like that, autism. But for me, what really kind of gets my juices is when you hear, you know, the worst of the worst, you know, like these horrible crimes. I'm really fascinated by terrorism, you know, the way our world has changed over the last 15 years, the way people can somehow rationalize completely wiping out hundreds, if not thousands of people in an instance when they themselves have a wife, kids, husband, whatever. Do you know what I mean? You know, that fascinates me, the fact that there's people out there that can do that, that can somehow rationalize this behavior and somehow justify it for, you know, whatever the cause is, whether it's religious ideas or, you know, personal beliefs, or, you know, whatever it is. To me, murder is murder. There is no justification for it. but I'm fascinated to hear the reasonings behind it. And I think we need to study it more and more.
So, because the last year, I mean, as a psychologist, I mean, this has been probably the worst year for human mental health ever. What are your thoughts on how we're doing as a society right now, I guess, mentally?
Listen, I'm a student. I'm not a professional. But if you want my personal opinion...
It's a podcast, yes.
Okay, so I'm an expert. Okay, fair. Well, I'll give you a couple of different points of view. From what we're seeing in the clinic, business has gone up. You know, people are still driving. People are still getting into accidents. And a lot of people have mental health issues after being in an accident because of the physical injuries they sustained. So imagine you're healthy, you're young, you're vibrant, you're 25, and all of a sudden you can't walk. You know, that's gonna take a major, major toll on you, physically and mentally. So we're still seeing those cases. We are seeing more people coming in dealing with anxiety, stress. But at the same time, even though there are people that are suffering, there's a lot of people that are doing quite well. And so far from what we're seeing is are the people that kind of focus themselves. First and foremost, it's acceptance, okay? The reason why you're seeing so many cases that were going up, especially all throughout the world, a lot of it is, it's for a variety of reasons, obviously, depending on where you live. But I think here in Toronto, there is a large part of the population that is in major denial. Everybody just wants to go about their lives and act like nothing's going on. Nothing happened, everything's fine. That's a completely normal reaction to have, right? Like if there was a zombie apocalypse that happened right now, I'm sure a lot of people just wouldn't be able to process that and say, no, that's not really happening. People aren't really eating people. I totally get that. But the truth is people aren't eating people, but there is a deadly virus going on, right? There's actual facts and evidence of that. And you can't just walk into a store and just do whatever it is you want to do. You do have to kind of change your habits and you have to adapt. And the ones that accept this sooner than later and just say, listen, it is what it is. My life has changed. I'm going to adapt. I have some spare time now because I have to stay home.
You released over 30 singles last year. Can you tell me about putting 30 singles together and releasing them inside of a year?
Well, you know, the funny thing is it was all just a progression. And I used to follow, you know, the singer Russ in the US? I used to follow him a lot. And I was watching one of his videos and he was talking about building a fan base and being consistent. And I thought about it and I thought about it like how that relates to me. And I said, first and foremost, I'm wasting too much time on social media. Like when I checked it, you know how you could check the time, how much you spend on the app? Mm-hmm. I was spending like 2 to 3 hours a day just, you know, at like 10 minute increments, just wasting time. I said, you know what I need to do? I need to use social media for me, what it's really for, like for myself. Just connect with my fans, say what I need to say, hop in, hop out, and spend the majority of my time making music and focusing on school. And that's what I did. I started making certain songs, and as time went on, I started realizing what was connecting with people and what my listeners liked and what they liked more. And it was really, it was a tricky experience because I make a couple of different genres of music. Like I make house, deep house, chill house, techno, hip hop, reggae. But my hardcore fan base is house music and deep house. But I have all these stories and songs that I made with hip hop and trap and R&B. And I was wondering like, well, if I, you know, how do I release these? I mean, is this going to kind of turn off my hardcore fan base? Are they going to like it? You know, like, what do I do? And at the end of the day, I realized, you know what? You got to stand by your art and your music. So I just said, screw it. I'm just going to put it out. Promote it to the appropriate genre. And I believe what's going to happen is my fan base, it's not going to diminish, it'll expand and I'll gain new listeners. It takes time to really connect with people. It takes time for them to connect with your music. My way, for me, the best way to build up that fan base and my listeners is to be consistent, tell the stories I wanted to tell, and be really creative and different with it. And all you could do is kind of like roll the dice and hope for the best, right? And hope people like it and connect with it. And not everybody likes everything. And I'm totally okay with that. You know, if somebody comes up to me and says, bro, your music totally sucks, I'm like, that's okay. That's fine. But I still stand by it, right?
Yeah.
I still stand by it. So, and my music is professional. And that's another thing. There's a lot of artists putting out music that's just not professional, right? Like no one will, you might say you don't like my music, but no one's ever going to say it's not professional or it's not mixed properly, doesn't have the proper sound quality. So I think, you know, you're putting all those things together. I mean, that's what got me to this point now. So far so good. So, and I got a new song dropping tomorrow. And yeah, I hope people really like it and they connect with it. It's called Shutdown. It's featuring this crazy kid named Teezy. He's from Africa. He's 18 years old. He's wild and crazy and hungry, but it comes out in his music, man. The guy is really talented. I think he did like 6 songs.
Can you tell me a little bit about that track? That is the track that we're going to be listening to in a couple of minutes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You know, the crazy thing about that song, that the sample that you hear, the home, seriously, no word of a lie, about 6 years ago, I sampled real Buddhist monks. I'm a Buddhist.
Oh, cool.
I'm originally from Montreal. So when I was going to the temple, you know, we're all meditating and doing the prayers. Like, when you really do it properly, it sounds like music, man. It is so beautiful. And I was always saying to myself, somebody needs to sample this. Like, this is crazy. So one day when everybody was meditating, I hit the recorder and I sampled the monks. So I just kept it. And I said, you know, one day I'm going to do something with this. And I made the beat, I think, 3 years ago. I think it's 3 years ago I made it. So, and then TZ recorded the vocals, I think it was 18 months ago, something to that. So yeah, that's a little fun fact behind the beat.
So I want to ask you, what draws you to electronic music?
It's my natural love. It's my first love. I think it really stems from when I was a kid, because my brother and I, when we were growing up, my brother's 4 years older than me, and we grew up pretty abused. But at nighttime, I used to have this little radio next to my bed. And whenever I'd go to sleep, they would always play dance music and house music. I think it started at like 10 o'clock at night. And on the weekends, it was a little bit earlier, on Fridays and Saturdays. And I just loved the music, man. I was just always listening to it. It was always... it was just nonstop. So I just always... I always loved, like, the remixes. Like, you know, the dance remixes and house remixes and things like that. And when I first got into the music business, all the music I was making was hip-hop and it was reggae. But I really wanted to make house music, but it just wasn't my time to be an artist. You know, I had other responsibilities. So I always felt like, well, if I was ever going to release music again, you know, I'm going to do really what I want to do. So yeah, a few years ago, I started making music again, and it's the music that I just love. I just connect with it. And I think my electronic music, it sounds different than everybody else's. I think I add a little bit of flavor, a little sauce, a little cool. Something spice, you know, something a little different, something a little unique.
Can you tell me a little bit about just sort of like your musical journey? Like, how long have you been doing this as Dr. B?
Well, I started out in 2001 and I left the music business, I think, in 2005. And it was a good run. Like, I mean, we ended up getting, I just kind of fell into it. And it was a friend of mine, Mr. Sinister from The Executioners. We were hanging out a lot and he introduced me to some people over at Loud Records at the time. And one thing led to another and we ended up getting a label deal with Ryko Distribution. We were in negotiations to sign Eminem's Best Friend Proof, before he passed away.
Oh, jeez.
It was, well, I had the same attorney as Eminem at the time. So I had access to like a lot of these artists that you normally wouldn't have access to.
Right.
So he just called me one day. He's like, hey, bro, Proof wants to put out a solo album, but he doesn't want to do it with a major label. He wants to do it with an indie. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, well, why doesn't Eminem put it out? And he's like, well, he doesn't want Eminem to put it out because he doesn't want people to say he's successful because of Eminem. He's looking to do a deal with a smaller company, but just do a better deal so he makes more money off the points. So I said, hell yeah. So I was super excited. Plus, he's my favorite rapper all out of D12. And then what happened was a few weeks later, I don't know if it was 2 weeks or maybe a month, that's when he got murdered.
Jeez.
He passed away. Yeah. And we were going to do a record deal with Jam Master J. I remember the first time I met him was at a TV station. He called me and he loved the demo of the girl I was representing. And he's like, yo, I'm at this TV station in Manhattan. And he's like, come down and see me. I only got 10 minutes. It was like 5:30 in the morning. And I went to see him. He was the nicest guy in the world. We made arrangements to hook up at the studio. 2 weeks later, he died. I couldn't believe it. You know, that was just horrible. So we got to meet a lot of great people, interesting things. But at the end of the day, the music business wasn't for me. It put a bad taste in my mouth, man. There was too many people around me that were trying to just, you know, take advantage of me and the situation, and everybody had their hands in my pockets. And yeah. I was going back and forth between New York and Montreal. And I just said, you know what, I don't need to do this. So I just went back to Montreal. I was running a business out there. I was making good money. So I stopped making music for about 15 years. You know, I just turned that side of me off because it just put such a bad taste in my mouth. What really got me back into music was I started making graphic novels. And
cool.
I made a best-selling comic book, a graphic novel, and I wanted to do a motion comic version of it, right? So the comics got all these special effects and movement and doing all these things, and obviously it needs music. So I tried to hire some people to write the music, and you know, it needs like big, old orchestra type music. It's a very dramatic comic book. It's about a holy war between God and the devil. So
crazy.
Yeah, so you need like big, like it's got-
What is the name of this comic book?
It's called Elysium, The Holy War. So you can find it on Amazon. It's a bestseller on Amazon in two categories, ELYSIUM.
Oh, Elysium, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so that's also like what I'm probably gonna do with my, the musical theater is incorporate, you know, Elysium, The Holy War, and like there's this holy war between God and the devil, and put a lot of graphics, effects, music, and tell this fantastic story through musical art, you know, contemporary dance, ballet, and just mix it up. But anyways, as I was doing the motion comics, it needed music, and I couldn't find the right people to do the music, so I said, screw it, man. I'll just do the music myself. And then that really got my juices flowing for music again. So then I started looking into, you know, music and, you know, how everybody's releasing music now and all the equipment, because obviously the equipment I was using is like completely outdated. So yeah, I just, one thing led to another. And about, I would say 2.5 years ago, I got some new equipment, got some MPCs and keyboards, and started making some music and started releasing it slowly but surely. And yeah, I guess the rest is history.
What is next for Dr. B?
Well, right now, like I said, I'm really hoping and I can launch this musical theater in 2023. And I'm hoping I can do it right here in Toronto and provide the local people just something unique and different and just a completely different experience they've never seen before. At the same time, I'm really experimenting with different types of sounds. And it's still house music, still electronic music, but I'm really getting into alternative pop. So you could definitely expect a little bit more variety from me coming out for this year. And I got, I just found out, this is so cool. I just found out yesterday, my neighbor who lives two doors down from me, he's a singer. This guy's amazing. Shout out Kadiri, by the way. So we're gonna be working together on some new stuff, probably some dance records. So you guys can expect some really cool dance music coming out soon.
Nice, nice. And where can we find more and where can we keep up with Dr. B?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram. It's I am Dr. B. So, but you gotta put the underscore. It's I underscore M-A-M underscore D-R dot underscore B. I'm on Twitter. I am Dr. B, the number 6, no spaces. Just I am Dr. B, number 6. And of course, you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music. I'm listed under Dr. B. And the link's in my bio on the social media. So you guys can just go to my social media accounts.
Cool. Yeah. And we'll put a link to that stuff as well below in like the podcast description and stuff. Thanks for hanging out with me, Jonathan. That was an awesome chat.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you so much for having me. I had a nice time.
Awesome. Everyone, this is Shut Down by Dr. B.
One time. Let's go. Them in the club with the money. Ladies in the mood too, naji. If I cop rewind like a gypsy, turn around and make a nigga tipsy. Light up the party, no be ordinary. Let them know the boy is so legendary. Straight from Lagos, I be coming like a fear man. No stress, that's original. I give them one time for the records. I give them one time for the moolah. Pull off my jacket and I light up that. Pass it all around to my real man. You know I'm down for the whole night. Vibe hard, keep it 100. Shut down the floor and I jump in the Uber. Then I'll be coming through like a number 10. Toronto, shut down. Chicago, shut down. New York, downtown, shut down. Nigeria, shut down. Lagos, shut down. Germany to Miami, we shut down. DJ Dr. B, you know we shut down. Finland, Sweden, you know we shut down. Yeah, you know we shut down. Yeah, you know we shut down. Oh my little mountain, I won't shut down. Then we cash out for the countdown. No time to the check time. Oh my sister, man, I can't shout. Dr. B, I feel heavy on the baseline. Party out till we can't walk the straight line. Benny Lenny, give them the juice and the sauce and the swag and the vibe with the boss, yeah, bring. Baby, with the boss, bring.
Thanks again to Jonathan for hanging out with me. We are wrapped, by the way, everybody, for the 3rd annual Canadian Independent Music Video Awards. All the votes are in and the finalists will be announced soon. Visit dropoutentertainment.ca and subscribe to the newsletter for updates and to stay tuned in. Find out who won the Canadian Independent Music Video Award for the best Canadian independent music video released in 2020. That is the show this week, everyone. It's been a slice, as always. Thanks again for tuning into Dropout Radio or subscribing to the podcast. New Ones at Noon airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Dropout Radio. Don't forget to follow Dropout on social media at Dropout Entertainment. This show is also available as the New Music Mondays podcast, and that is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, and iHeartRadio. You can also tune in to Dropout Radio on the MyTuner Radio app. So check that out if you're into great new music and stuff. I'm your host, Ben in Toronto. Stay safe, wear a mask, and be kind to one another. Now back to 100% independent Canadian music. This is Dropout Radio.